This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Again, A-list guests up and down the lineup today. And we're now going to be joined by the head basketball coach down there in beautiful Coral Gables. Jim Larinaga joins us. And we'll see how Coach is doing. There he is. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing fine. Wearing my mask every day.
Well, it's good because we mentioned earlier that one of your Patriots over there, Manny Diaz, tested positive today. I don't know if you heard that news, but we wish him the very best.
Yeah,
and
I just got
recovery.
A text about it.
Yeah, so again, you know, COVID doesn't care, as you well know, and this is going to be quite a challenge from a basketball perspective. It already has been tough for football, but we've kind of grinded through it and hopefully can get to the finish line. We hope to get to that starting point, which I know has been kind of a hit and miss with you guys already with one cancellation and flip-flopping dates and all that kind of stuff. So, listen, this is going to be a tricky operation, but I think we're all kind of excited to get started.
Yeah, well, before they made the announcements about starting the college basketball season on November the 25th, we had seven games between November 10th and November 25th. So Adam Fisher, who's my assistant coach, who's the person delegated to work on the schedule, we had to revamp our entire schedule. And I was adamant that we should not be traveling. Because I was just so fearful that if we traveled, no matter how you travel, I was fearful that someone on the team would get COVID and we'd be shut down.
Jimmy, is it the singular thing now that comes to the front of mind when you start thinking about this season is how you can stay safe and stay healthy from the virus?
Absolutely. You know, if one player gets sick because of contact tracing, it could shut down your whole team. And, you know, once you shut down your whole team, so many things come into play. You know, how many days do you have to then quarantine? How sick are each individual that had coronavirus? And then what do you do when you come back? How much do you get a chance to practice and get back in shape before you play your next game? So our football team is going through it right now. I got my fingers crossed that our basketball team won't have to go through it. But I think the chances of that are very slim.
I know one thing that at least brings some comfort is knowing that, hey, Chris Likes is back wearing a Miami jersey. Because let me tell you something. As you well know, when you've got terrific backcourt players, life becomes a little bit easier for you. Now, granted, you got to stay healthy. It's always going to be a key. But, my gosh, Chris Likes can play for anybody in the country, and you guys are still lucky to have him. He is some kind of player.
Chris Likes is a dynamo. He's a high-octane scorer, a very entertaining player, very acrobatic. He can shoot the three from very long range. He's got an assortment of layups and pull-up jump shots that really, really make him hard to guard. But he's not alone. We've got a very good experienced backcourt with Cam Auguste, Isaiah Wong, and Harlan Beverly joining him. Plus our freshman standout of Earl Timberlake. So we have five guards. If they can all stay healthy, we can have a very good backcourt.
The conversations all start with the backcourt coach, but I know it seems like you got to be excited about some of the inventory you've got in the front court too. I mean, I know Rodney Miller's back. Nasir Brooks is eligible now. Speak to a little bit about that development, because I think that's also an important piece of where your team might be this year.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I was really confident because Nasir Brooks and Rodney Miller at the five, Sam Wardenberg, Anthony Walker, a sophomore now, and Matt Cross at the four, and then Ed Dengak, he can play both positions. So we were looking awfully good. And then all of a sudden, Sam Wardenberg goes down. It seemed to me, I saw the injury, he just twisted his foot, he stepped on someone's foot. He ends up having surgery and he's out for the season. He's our most experienced front court player, our best defensive front court player, our leading rebounding front court player, and he's now out for the year. So other guys are going to have to step up to fill his shoes. Then Anthony Walker, a week later, sprained his knee and has missed 4 weeks of practice. Thank goodness Anthony is back now and looks very good. I think he'll have a good sophomore year, but he's still very, very inexperienced.
Coach, walk us through a practice now during this pandemic. I mean, what has to change in terms of what you try to accomplish at a singular practice, whether it be a Tuesday afternoon or whatever the case may be? What's that like now?
Well, the very first thing you'll notice is how the practice facility is set up. If you walked into our practice facility, you would see all the chairs. Normally, we don't have any chairs for the players. Now we've got 13 players. We've got like 15 chairs set up with everybody's name on it. Everybody must sit at their own chair. At every chair, there is their fluid so that they can drink water and Gatorade during the course of a practice. It has their name on the chair so they don't sit at anybody else's chair. They're separated by at least 10 feet so that nobody's really sitting next to each other. And every player and coach that walks into the practice facility has a mask on. While the players are on the court, they can remove their masks, but the coaches have their masks on 100% of the time. In addition to that, we've established our rules, and this is kind of interesting. When we started back in July, we did not do a single drill that included offense and defense. We didn't want any face-to-face competition. So when we were working on offense, it was just offense only, skills, shooting. On defense, it was without a ball. It was just working on your foot slides and really just individual defense. So, and then a practice now as the season approaches, looks much more like it did in years past.
I hate to say this, but you've been around this game long enough that this adjustment for you might have been somewhat different, but it's not too drastically different from coaching basketball, right? I mean, yeah, you've had to do chairs, fluids, all those type things, but I can envision Jim Larrañaga liking teaching defense without a basketball, that kind of thing. I can envision that. I don't see that being a much of a stretch at all for you.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because what ends up happening is we do that and have done that in the past in every season. The only difference is the length of time. So initially, we start out offense and defense without basketballs, and then introduce the basketballs after, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days. This time it was after like 4 or 6 weeks.
How about that? You know, Coach K mentioned yesterday he thinks it's going to be really, really difficult to have one centralized location for the NCAA tournament. And I know everybody's worried about getting started, but it really is going to be critical for college basketball to have a conclusion, which we did not have last season. Do you agree or disagree with Kay's position about the one centralized location and the difficulty it will be having multiple teams show up?
This whole season is going to be difficult. There's going to be cancellations. There's going to be games that everybody's looking forward to, and then all of a sudden there is no game. It gets canceled. How many games we're actually going to be able to play of the 25, and some teams are playing 27 because of an exempt event? I'm very concerned. We were scheduled to be in an exempt event in the Cayman Islands, and then they had to move it, and then the dates didn't work for us, so we're not playing in an exempt event because it just didn't work for our schedule. But I also felt like those are going to be the most dangerous events in terms of spreading COVID. So I'd be very concerned about bringing a group of teams together in one location. So if you do that in the NCAA tournament, who knows what's going to happen?
Final thing from me. When Virginia was picked to win the ACC in the preseason by the Blue Ribbon panel, It marked the first time since 1982 that the Cavaliers had been picked to win the ACC in the preseason. The that Virginia team featured a dapperly attired assistant who Dave looked Hogan. Dashing on Terry Holland's bench. No, it did not. Well, I wasn't thinking of him, Coach. I was thinking, and I wasn't thinking of Little Page either, by the way, just for the record. All right, I was thinking of Larrañaga. I mean, you know, 82, Craig Robinson, Othell Wilson, Ralph Sampson, Jim Miller. I mean, you know, when that happened, did you kind of have that quick flashback when Virginia was picked first to win the ACC?
You know, Tony Bennett has done an absolutely tremendous job. And it wasn't just last year or being picked preseason number one. The consistency of the Virginia program's performances over the last 10 years since I've been in the league is one of the more impressive things that I've seen. You know, everybody knows about Duke and Carolina, Syracuse, Louisville. Those programs over the history of college basketball have been tremendous. Terry Holland really got it going at UVA. From 79 to 86 when I was there, Virginia was a team to be reckoned with at the national level. Two trips to the Final Four. Number one in the country for about 4 of those 7 years, at least in part. And I think Tony Bennett has taken the program even a step further. You know, it was absolutely a shocker in college basketball when Virginia lost to UMBC. One of the most incredible follow-ups to that season is Virginia coming back and winning the national championship.
Yeah.
So you got to give Tony a heck of a lot of credit. You know, he's on his way to the Basketball Hall of Fame, and that'll be a very well-deserved honor.
Coach, listen, it's great seeing you. Again, stay healthy. I know you're working on it and all that great stuff, and we hope we can get cranked up here this hoop season as well and get a conclusion. But again, thoughts, prayers, all that good stuff to Manny Diaz and everybody down there as well.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's been that kind of day. If you're at Doak Campbell, bring a book.
Good tan.
Might want to say. You need something to kill time with 29 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Professor Bruce Thayer, 2 years ago, Clemson, Florida State game. And Wes, as the week was going on, we were kicking around some ideas about, okay, listen, the Noles are a 35-point dog. Trevor Lawrence is coming back. Clemson coming off a loss. They're going to be ticked off. What would be an interesting sidebar story to this? Hey, I got an idea. Mm-hmm. Let's get the professor on and see what's going on and see what's happening down there in Tallahassee. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Professor Bruce Thayer from Florida State University now joins us. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark and Wes. Terrific. Beautiful day down here in Tallahassee.
I, you know what? I barely recognized you with a shirt on. I hope you're doing well.
I can take it off if you want.
No. We're good.
No,
we're good.
No.
We're good. I get that a lot.
So do I.
So, Professor Thayer, I just 2 years later, how often does your moment in the sun, per se, get brought up to you?
Oh, counting this about, every 2 years?
By the way, where are you?
No, I've had a lot of good-natured ribbing from a lot of people from all over the place. I had a student email me yesterday. He wants to pose with me in the stadium tomorrow.
You know, that's just part of the fame and fortune. That's what comes along with it. You know, all the work you've done in terms of academics and so forth, it all has everything to do with reading a book at a football game, and now look how your life turns upside down. Kind of crazy, right?
My mom is very proud of me.
There you go. That's always important. By the way, where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in the actual stadium. I reclaim. So I've got my seat. So I'm all ready for the big game tomorrow at noon.
All right. So, by the way, is that your seat, or did you just randomly pick that one, or is that going to be your location for tomorrow?
I'm not sure where I'll be tomorrow.
But you will be at the game, though, will you not? Man. I mean, you are a loyal
fan.
I'm
hoping to. You know, Florida State, it's a sellout crowd every game. And tomorrow's going to be such a blowout where we beat Clemson that it's going to be difficult to get tickets. Why are you laughing?
I'm going along with you, my man. Listen, it has been a tough run in Tallahassee. So if you can't laugh at it a little bit, you need to, because you know the Noles will eventually get this thing figured out, one way or the other. They'll get that thing turned around.
Absolutely. When Chubby comes back as our quarterback next year, it's going to be number one.
There you go.
2 years ago at the game, you were reading Dark Places. I have just the curiosity getting the best of me. What are you reading right now by chance? Because I know you still do a lot of reading.
Well, funny you should ask. Right now, I'm rereading my own book. It's called Combat Social Work. It's about officers who are in the military forces who are social workers. They find themselves deployed in combat situations, sometimes taking fire, IEDs, artillery, and these folks provide mental health and counseling services to members of our forces overseas. These folks are real heroes, published by Oxford University Press, makes a great Christmas present. So I'm rereading this. This is lots of fun.
Let me tell you something. I have such a couple things here. I have a total appreciation that you have maximized a marketing opportunity on network television to promote your book for the holidays. So I have total respect for that. And I love the topic. I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, a lot of folks probably don't even think of it two iotas, but you're all over it. So anything that promotes to helping the military, I am all for that. So, you know, you're knocking it out of the park this morning.
But I got another one that's I'm going to read next. I don't know if you can read it. It's called The Three Trumps. And it's a real page turner, and it's a novel that never seems to end.
Oh my God. All of a sudden we've changed the parallel of the network. Professor Thayer, take me through it's always interesting on a campus where like football is so big and it's a big event every week. I know it's also, and for someone who's been on faculty at Florida State, football is a vehicle to the rest of the university. What's it meant to, like, in your college, College of Social Work at FSU?
You're breaking up a little bit.
What's the parallel? Okay, what is football meant to? Like, I know it's always an extension of the university in some respect, but it benefits the university in so many different ways, from a recruiting and admission standpoint to all sorts of things. Yeah, what's the relationship been for you?
Well, for one thing, my office is in the stadium itself. The whole College of Social Work is right here. So every event, we're right in the middle of it. Football and the other collegiate sports generate lots of revenue for the university, which provides scholarships to our needy students and gives a lot of kids an opportunity to get a college education. Plus, it's just a lot of fun. You know, a well-rounded life is academics, it's work, but it's also family and lots of fun. And football does all that, particularly tailgating experiences.
Professor, obviously, we're in the business of talking about games and all that stuff, but the one thing that we've really enjoyed are the interviews with the student-athletes. And while we talk about the efforts that have been made by all the student-athletes just to have the ability to compete, I want to talk about students, period. During this pandemic, what have you found? I mean, the amount of work necessary now from not only for what you do, but in addition to what the students have to go through, because listen, they would love to have an ordinary life in college where, hey, the four best years of your life are in college, but everybody's had to make sacrifices. What have you sensed from a student body perspective of what they've been through in 2020 and how they've been able to adapt?
it's a little tougher for him. I have two students who are at Florida State right now. My son, Joe, studying mechanical engineering in grad school. My daughter, Cynthia, studying education in grad school. And they're doing all online learning. And it's a little tougher because they don't have quite the same level of one-to-one interaction with the faculty. But my kids and all the Florida State students are rising to the occasion. They're getting a good college education. Our enrollments are holding steady. So we're very proud of them, and we do everything we can to accommodate their needs in this very, very difficult time.
Yeah, that's well said. Well, I'm glad to know you're going to be at the game tomorrow. You've been a great guest to have. We appreciate your time. It's good to catch up with you, and I'm sorry it's only brought up every couple of years. Go ahead, Pac. I'm sorry.
I just want to follow up with one thing with the professor. Give me one key, and one key only, to Florida State knocking off Clemson tomorrow at the stadium there. Give me one key.
My inside sources tell me Coach Bobby Bowden is giving Coach Norville some tips. And I'm looking forward to a reprise of that wonderful game. I think it was in 88 when Deion Sanders had that 78-yard run for a touchdown and FSU went on to beat Clemson. You know, we beat them 20 out of 33 times, and we're going to see a big win for Florida State tomorrow.
All right. Can I just remind you of one thing, though? And I don't mean to bring this down, but I don't think primetime's walking through that tunnel tomorrow, Coach. I'm just telling you.
I'm looking for Lee Corso in game day.
Yeah, there you go. Well, listen, go ahead, Wes.
Pack. Why don't you ask the professor a version of your question that we ask all the student-athletes?
Yeah, we ask every student-athlete what's the hardest class they've had at their respective institution. So I'm going to put this one on you, and you can't say your course. But from what you hear from your students and other faculty, what would be the most difficult course at Florida State University?
Well, you beat me to it. I was going to say my class, but I would have to say it's a doctoral. Well, can't do it. Statistics in graduate school. I'd say that.
You copped out on me, Professor. Professor thought you were going to give me an answer, and you're like, no, I'm going to alienate too many of my buddies. Right? That's a tough question.
Shout out to my mom, Marilyn Iver, 87 years old in Canada.
There you go.
Hey, good
Professor
luck with the book.
Professor Bruce Thayer, you're great. Appreciate it. Congratulations on the book, Combat Social Work. All right, you bet. Combat Social Work. We had that was awesome.
Funny.
He's got a great – I mean, talk about a writing principle on a story, military people involved in social work, Pac.
Yeah.
That's an awesome, amazing topic when you think about it,
no
right?
No doubt. I love it. Yeah. Love everything about it. But it's kind of crazy, right, how your 15 seconds of fame, you just never know what's going to pop on. And here he is at a ball game supporting his team, loves his school. Hey, it's a blowout. It's 59-3 or whatever the score was. And he's sitting there reading a book. And next thing you know, you're on camera and everybody's buzzing about it. And people are still talking about it 2 years later, given the fact that Oles are a 35-point underdog tomorrow. So – who knows, man? It's college football. You never know what's going to happen. But he seems to be a great sport and obviously a terrific professor. So we really appreciate his time.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Appreciate the professor joining us. Bruce Thayer, great sense of humor and good natured. Mm-hmm. And I hope he's ready to read tomorrow because I think Clemson's going to be really good tomorrow. Wes, I think the Tigers are going to be pretty dialed in tomorrow. So I just kind of feel it.
Yeah, no, I do too. Yeah, I think the Tigers will have – Florida State will get their full attention at noon. Ball game on ABC, by the way. Let's go to one stat per game. This is kind of a Friday tradition of this program, right, Pac?
Yep,
I think
no question.
Tradition's the right word, isn't it?
Yep.
Let's start with Syracuse and Louisville tonight on ESPN, 7 o'clock. Anish Schroff, Tom Luganville, coveted invite will be there. Malik Cunningham for the Cards. a 79 QBR this season, third best in the ACC behind Trevor Lawrence and Ian Book for Cunningham, who almost ran for 200 yards last week in the loss at Virginia.
Dangerous man. You know, we go through that list of quarterbacks in this league. He's not the guy you immediately think of, but when you look up his numbers, Wes, the guy makes plays. He is a baller. And as Virginia found out last week, if you don't tackle him, he will continue to run and run and run and run for $197 last week. Dangerous player.
Yeah.
Really good player.
Bonus stat, by the way, Syracuse has won 5 of its last 6 Friday games and is 6-2 on Friday under Dino Babers.
That's right. And I told you, they like those Friday night
football. Does it matter games. Tonight?
It could. I mean, if
Does
Syracuse
it count tonight?
If Syracuse wins this game, it will not surprise me because Louisville has given the ball away a bunch, and that's what Syracuse does best. And if they get some short fields or maybe some easy scores for an offense that's really struggled, next thing you know, they kind of believe that, hey, this is our week to win a game. So I think both these teams think they're better than the other guy. So I think that's why the game will be competitive tonight.
All right, let's go to the high noon ball game we just spoke of, Clemson, Florida State. And one stat per game, it involves the Tigers. They have scored at least 34 points in every game this season. They rank in the top 10 nationally in scoring offense. Florida State has scored only 30 or more once, and that was this game, the upset of North Carolina.
You know, Clemson with a win tomorrow will have beaten Florida State 3 straight times at Doak Campbell. There's only 4 teams in the history of college football that have beaten Florida State 3 straight times in their backyard. Only 4. And this is a bar bet. The Florida Gators did it back in the 60s and the 70s. Houston did it way back in the 60s and the 70s. Memphis did
Houston.
It. Yeah, Houston. Now, Houston used to have great...
Memphis.
Yeah, Houston, Memphis, and Florida back in the 60s and the 70s. And the Miami Hurricanes did it in the 80s when you had the great game. You know, those games are unbelievable. So Clemson's got a chance to become the 5th team in the history of college football to beat Florida State 3 consecutive times in Tallahassee. We'll see. They're a heavy, heavy favorite.
Do you know who has won 2 straight in Tallahassee? As a road team?
Georgia Tech. Is that right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Just saying. I mean, listen, I know it's been a long, tough 2 or 3 years here for Florida State. But, you know, when they joined the league, Wes, and we've discussed this, when they joined the conference, they wore people out. I mean, it was like, hey, it's a whole different animal. I mean, they came to your town, and they were there to absolutely say, hey, sorry, boys. That would be a you problem tonight because we're getting ready to line up and put a 50 spot on you, and you're not going to score a whole lot. And I'm telling you, they changed the league when they joined. My point with all this is you go through highs and lows. Everybody does. You go through highs and lows. In Florida State, hey, in 2013, they were the best team in college football and one of the best teams you'd ever want to see. And, you know, now all of a sudden these last 3 years have been tough, back-to-back-to-back losing seasons. But I have faith that Florida State will get it back. I just hope fans are patient with Mike Norvell because you've got everything in place to be elite again. Just let the guy do his job. All right. I know, tomorrow could get ugly. The rest of the year could get ugly. I get it. But just let him do his job. You'll get back to where you want to be.
Yeah. By the way, the bonus stat for you, Florida State has not led Clemson since the 4th quarter of the 2016 matchup. It's been 188 minutes and 53 seconds of game time since the last time Clemson trailed Florida State.
Wow. Like I said, this used to be the rivalry. It will be again one of these days. But, you know, right now it's a mismatch.
All right. Virginia Tech at Pittsburgh. That's a 4 o'clock game right here on ACC Network tomorrow. Chris Cotter, Eric Wood, Larisha Harris will be there for us on ACC Network. And we've told you all week, this is going to be Virginia Tech running it, Pittsburgh shutting it down. one of the central pivots in the ball game. The Panthers allow just 10.9 rushing yards per game to quarterbacks. That includes sacks. Hendon Hooker averages almost 96 yards a game, third most by any quarterback in FBS. Sidebar, the Panthers average 33 points a game with Kenny Pickett as the starter, 11 points without him. The two games without Pickett were both against top 10 teams, Notre Dame and Miami, so take that into account. But Hendon Hooker running the ball is a big piece of what Virginia Tech does on the ground. Pittsburgh will have to account for Herbert, Blackshear, and certainly Hendon Hooker tomorrow.
And we pointed out the Hokies are 1-5 at Heinz Field, and they also shut Pitt out last year. That game was 28-0.
Yeah.
Kind of a cold, nasty day in Blacksburg, and Hokies just wore them out. You wonder if that sticks in the back of your craw a little bit, too, about getting shut out in this game. I think this one's really hard to figure out. When we get back on Monday, God willing, almost any score, any outcome will not surprise me in this game. If both these teams give you an A effort, it will be a great game and incredibly competitive. But you just wonder, too. I just wonder about the mindset of Virginia Tech after the back-to-back tough losses. And for Pitt, it seems like they're kind of getting healthy at the right time. Kenny Pickett's back in the fold. They should be fresh given the time off with COVID and the late open date. Who knows what happens in this game? This is a hard one to figure out.
There you go. Let's go to Abilene Christian and Virginia. Okay, that's tomorrow in Charlottesville. ACU Pack, first out-of-state FCS program to play the Cavaliers since the 1978 FBS-FCS or 1A-1AA split.
The Wildcats, as they're called, have never played a game in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I think they'll find that the surroundings are beautiful, the grounds are spectacular, stadium's nice, and they're also going to find out that Virginia is going to kick them right in the teeth. That's what they're going to find out tomorrow. So welcome to Charlottesville.
Abilene Christian has only played one other ACC school in its football history, and that would be Florida State. And early in the Knowles tenure, and even Buddy Reynolds was on the football team at Florida State when they last played in 1957 against an ACC school.
Burt Reynolds, legendary. Interviewed him one time, Wes. One of the funniest things of all time. I have that tape somewhere in my files. But one of the funniest, naturally, one of the funniest people I've ever had a chance to encounter on radio was Burt Reynolds. Absolutely spectacular. Fantastic.
Highlight the interview?
You know, we got done with the interview, and I didn't want to say goodbye. We had so much fun. And I finally said, hey, can I ask you one more question? And he's like, yeah, sure, pack whatever you want. I said, man, all those cannonball run. I said, you were so far ahead of your time when you had all the outtakes and the bloopers. And he started laughing and goes, let me tell you how that came about. And we spent another 20 minutes talking about Dom DeLuise. And my sides were sore for like 2 days from just laughing, listening to Burt Reynolds tell Dom DeLuise outtake stories and those crazy movies. And again, we got into Bobby Bowden in Florida State and all that stuff and all that. But he was such a naturally funny person. That interview still sticks in my craw in terms of just, if I have a bad day, I could go pick that thing out and play it and just start laughing. He was awesome. Just great.
Here's something to think about for the Bojangles Weekend Menu segment coming up. You got to pick your two favorite Burt Reynolds movies.
Oh,
okay. Got to pick your two favorite. Well, you got to pick two. We'll do it in the last segment. Okay. I got one stat per game left. Don't say it. Not now.
I won't.
Other segment.
Okay.
Liberty at NC State wraps up one stat per game. The Wolfpack will be trying to win a regular season game against a ranked non-conference opponent for the first time since 2010, when they beat number 22 West Virginia when the Flames visit Carter-Finley Stadium tomorrow night. So there you go. We talk about winning, and they got one earlier this year when they beat Pittsburgh on the road. They'll be trying to beat a ranked non-conference opponent in the regular season for the first time since 2010.
I think it's going to be a fun game. 7:30. Fun. I think that game is going to be explosive on both sides. I really do.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of a long week. In fact, last couple of weeks have been long in the world of college athletics, given all the cancellations and postponements. But Wes, it involves, though, the Bojangles weekend menu of what we know, we hope, we pray that we are going to have on the menu.
Bacon, egg, and cheese coming up for you, Packer. I'm guessing, sir. Here soon. Is that right?
Amen.
Yeah. The Huddle tomorrow's two-hour edition at 10 a.m. with Jordan Cornett, E.J. Manuel, Eric McLean, Coach Rick, and then back again at 3:30 as a lead-in to Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh, which is 4 o'clock right here on ACC Network with Chris Cotter, Eric Wood, and Larisha Harris live at Heinz Field. And then Sunday, Pittsburgh and Clemson, high noon on ESPNU in the ACC Men's Soccer Championship. And that is a look at the Bojangles weekend menu here with Packer and Durham. Nice program today. Very nice program. Great work by Drew Brooks and Josh Macri, Meg Drobniak, Lewis Neal. Everybody on the front row did a great job. Back row did a super job. Bunkers, great work. Your two favorite Burt Reynolds movies.
This is harder than you might think. I'm going to go Deliverance because I've been down that river, Wes. I've been down the Chattuga.
Okay.
And that's a funny story, too, if we have time. So Deliverance would be there. And I'm this is tough for the second one. The original Longest Yard. That's one of those flicks that you might catch in the middle of the night. I don't sleep. That's one of those 2 a.m. movies. I've probably seen it a dozen times. And if I run across it, I just put the remote down and laugh and just be entertained. Again, like I said, the guy was such a great interview that, God rest his soul, he was awesome. Loved him, Burt Reynolds.
I agree with you on the original Longest Yard. In fact, the opening scene of the movie where he goes rolling through the streets with Lynyrd Skynyrd turned wide open on the radio driving is pretty hilarious. And then all the football scenes are kind of awesome. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really, really, really interesting movie. The original is by far the best. The second one for me, Pac, I can't remember a movie I laughed as hard as I did start to finish at Smokey and the Bandit. I just can't. I mean, Jerry Reed's hilarious. Jackie Gleason's hilarious. Burt Reynolds is hilarious. Pat McCormick and Paul Williams playing Big Enos, Little Enos are hilarious. You just laugh all the time, right?
Well, there's, you know, I don't know how many movies Burt Reynolds has done. I would have guessed it's probably over 100. To pick two, it's hard because, like I said, I picked Deliverance, and there's nothing funny about Deliverance now. Deliverance will put that'll put a shiver up your bones if you have never seen it before. It's about 50 years old. But I remember seeing that for the first time and went, wow. And then, you know, when you go to school at Clemson, right down the road is the Chattooga River. If you want to go whitewater rafting, and we did that, a bunch of guys on the golf team, middle of the summer, we had nothing better to do. And we went down to Chattooga. And, again, no experience at all in whitewater rafting. Thinking, oh, piece of cake, you know, drink some beer, go down the river. Life's good. Middle of the summer, we got nothing to do. Beautiful day. And it is. It's awesome. Yeah. You go down the river. There's nothing better than going through a river and all that stuff. But there was one thing at the very end that you have to have a professional guide. And, you know, we went through it and for a couple hours and life's good. But at the very end of the run, the rapid is a 5. All right? It's a 5, which means you better have a professional with you or you're going to die. That's basically what that means. So they get everybody off the river. And we walk up this cliff and we look down to see what they call the Bull's Loose. That's the name of the river, this fall, the Bull's Loose. And again, we had a bunch, we've been drinking too much beer and all that stuff. So nevertheless, we go up and look down to see the Bull's Loose and it's loud. I mean, you're like, we're not going to do this. And they, one of the guys in the golf team said, oh, yeah, we are. We've come this far. It was like the John Belushi Animal House scene. You know, the Germans, you know, we're going to go for it. And so we decide to do it. So we get in the raft, all right? And I will never forget this. And, of course, you got your, you know, we got all the harnesses on and all this stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like two consecutive 10-foot drops at different angles. And so we get in the raft, and here we go. And we got this. Now we got this professional guide who's behind us, and we're doing our thing. And one of my best buds in college was a guy by the name of Brian Banco, the Breezewood, Breeze, I called him. And he is behind me. All right, I'm up front. He's behind me, and there's another guy behind. So there's like six of us in there and the guide. And as soon as we get zipping down the river, the guide goes, "You're not going fast enough. If you don't pick up speed, we're never going to make it." We're scared to death. This is like the first time, like, oh, what are we doing? All right. We've been out there for 7 hours. And so here you see six idiots on the golf team. And I mean, we look like the Olympic team. Come on, we are flying down this river. And as you got closer, it got so loud. All right. And we're about 10 feet away from the first drop. And my man, Brian Banco, the Breezewood, jumps out of the freaking raft. Jumps out. He goes, and I feel it on my shoulder, and off he goes. He dives in, and I'm going, Breezewood, you can't jump out. He goes underwater, and we go flying down, and this thing, it goes so fast, like you just close your eyes, and it shoots you out like 40 feet. Out pop out of the water, 20 feet in front of us is Breezewood. The river took him out 20 feet past us, and I'm like, I will never go whitewater rafting again. And that's all because of Burt Reynolds in the movie Deliverance. And now you know the rest of the story.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.